appreciate those songs of that have reminded us of our duty to be holy before the Lord and how great our God is. Certainly an appropriate thing to do any time we get together. As I introduce this lesson, I want to read about a rather tragic, very tragic event that happened. I believe this story is true, though I'm not certain exactly where I got this story, but the details indicate this is something that certainly happened, and we'll take this story and apply it to us spiritually. Two young men were fishing above a low dam on a river near their hometown. And as they were concentrating on catching fish, they were unaware that as they were in their boat, they had drifted away until they were not far from the water flowing over the dam that had become very nearby. When they realized their situation, the current near the dam became too powerful for them to keep their boat from going over. Below the dam, the water was very strong and going over great boulders and through crevices in the rocks. These young boys were caught by the swirling waters under the rocks, and they never came to surface, unfortunately. And after days of relentless searching, the divers finally found one body. And then, two or three days later, they found the other one. They perished in that accident. Just out fishing, likely, it seems from the context here, on a river that was, you know, close to their hometown, a river maybe they had fished plenty of times before, and they were so intent on catching their fish that the boat began to drift closer and closer to the dam. And they had no idea that they were that close to the dam until it was too late. What a tragic story that is. And the reality of that is, as tragic as that is, we can fall into the same trap spiritually, where we drift further and further from the Lord so imperceptibly, and we may not even notice we are drifting, and others may not notice until it is too late. It is such a danger for us in our service to the Lord that we become very complacent in our attitudes toward the Lord, and we begin to drift, and we have no idea that we are even doing that. If you'd open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1, I want to speak of a few verses, read a few verses out of chapter 1 and then the first few verses of chapter 2. The Hebrew writer here, and especially as we get into chapter 2, addresses the danger of us drifting spiritually and what that and the dire consequences that may result of our drifting further and further from the Lord. In chapter 1, as the Hebrew writer begins this book, he says in verse 1, God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways, in these last days he has spoken to us in his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is, speaking of Jesus, is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than the angels as he inherited a more excellent name than they. And the Hebrew writer continues on, exalting Jesus as the one that we need to pay attention to. He is so much better than the angel, and he makes a case here of Jesus' superiority of and over the angels. You know, we'd already read about he is the exact representation of God's nature. He made purification of sins. He'll go on to make the point that Jesus is the very Son of God. Which of the angels can rightly make a claim like that? He is God's anointed. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. Jesus never changes. He's constant. He has no beginning or end. And then the writer then is going to make his case throughout the rest of this book, imploring the readers of this book, imploring us today, that Jesus is our only hope of is our only hope of salvation. And this was very important for these people, so important the Hebrew writer gives this exhortation at the beginning of chapter 2. For this reason, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away from us. The Hebrew writer is exhorting these people to pay close attention to all that they have heard, all that we just read about. Because without paying close attention to what they had previously learned, they run the danger of drifting away, of falling from the Lord, of departing from God Himself. And he, in very certain terms, sets forth the grave danger of those who drift away. In verse 2, for if the word spoken through angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just penalty, how will we escape if we neglect such a so great a salvation? And that's the danger. When those that have once named the Lord and have become followers of the Lord, there is the danger that we may fall away. And there is a judgment, there is a punishment, a very harsh punishment for those that end up drifting away, as we read here in verses 2 and 3. Sadly, it is not uncommon for God's disciples to drift towards a spiritual destruction. It's the reality of it. It is commonly taught, you know, this once saved, always saved doctrine. But that's simply not true. We're without careful and very, you know, determined diligence, we run the danger of drifting away, from falling away from the Lord, unless we really work at our and work to grow in our service to the Lord. There's a few definitions of drifting that I'd like to just briefly point out. One definition of drifting, it's an act or an instance of being driven or carried along as by a current or water or by circumstances. And what I want to highlight from that definition is that the act is the act of being driven by something else or someone else. There is some external force pushing us away from where we need to be. Another definition, Vines defines drifting as to flow past, to glide by, where the significance is to find oneself flowing or passing by without giving heed to a thing. That's not a definition I would have given. And so in layman's terms, you're just kind of floating by without even noticing it. It's so imperceptible to you that you don't even know that you're just kind of drifting along, that you're floating along, gliding by. And that's the danger. That's one of the dangers of drifting from the Lord. And so, for a few moments, I want to consider the dangers of drifting, some of the signs of drifting from the Lord, and then what are some of the ways in which we can prevent something like this from happening to us. One of the dangers, and this is just a list that I've come up with, and certainly more than what I'm going to mention or even have time to mention tonight, but one of the worst dangers of drifting is the fact that it is so subtle. We don't even know that we are doing. It's very gradual, okay, very imperceptible. It's like the erosion of a beach. If you live on a beach and your house is on the beach, you're not going to notice that gradually over time that beach property that you own is slowly eroding away. And it may not be for years and years later. Maybe you're looking at old photographs of what your property used to look like, and you realize, wow, I don't have as much beach as I used to. You know, even in a boat, there are undercurrents often that are, you know, underneath your vessel that you're in, and they're unnoticeable. You don't even know that they're pulling you or pushing you away. Drift, you know, you're in a boat. You're just kind of drifting along. You don't even know it, like those two young men that died. And the same is true spiritually, that we can drift from the Lord and we don't even notice it. We have no concept that we are falling away from the Lord. It's kind of like gaining weight, all right? You may wake up one day and realize, wow, I am a lot heavier than what I used to be. I remember one time I gained a lot of weight and didn't realize it until I was sitting in that pew and my finger was blue. You know, my finger got so big, it basically cut off the circulation. I didn't realize, and I started looking at old photographs. Wow, I didn't even realize it. Nobody here had told me that. And same thing spiritually. We can just, we can drift away and we don't even know it. And that is such a danger to us. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 8, Paul tells Timothy of men who will oppose the truth in such a way that it will become obvious to all. And as bad as that is, that's probably the type of apostasy that is the best for us, when it's clear and obvious to all. I know for the elders here, we would much rather somebody announce to us that they have departed from the Lord than just kind of keep that secret and fall away from the Lord and nobody even knows about it until it is too late. And so for every one person who just completely rebels from the Lord and is very public with it and very obvious to all with it, there's 100 others that just slowly and gradually drift away, and it's imperceptible to even themselves at times, and certainly to most other people. You know, the kind of disease that I want is a disease that I know about. The most deadly diseases are those diseases that are just eating you away from the inside and you have no idea what is going on. I would much rather be just deathly sick and feel physically awful, because then I know something is wrong and possibly I could do something about it, rather than just slowly dying away without even knowing about it. So it's very subtle, and that's a danger of drifting. Drifting requires no effort on our part. We can be in a boat and we're just kind of piddling along and just enjoying the day. We have the oars in the boat, the troller motor is off, and we're just kind of drifting away. It requires no effort at all. And spiritually, a Christian can just drift from the Lord with no effort at all. The Christian may not be pursuing a life of sin. He or she may not be, you know, going after, you know, striving for those things that are damaging to him or her spiritually, but with no effort at all, they become complacent and they are drifting further and further away from the Lord. And that is a danger. A drifter is susceptible to any wind that comes his way. And that, I'm reminded of what Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4 about the dangers of wind and the one that is not grounded in the truth and being blown away and taking away spiritually. In verse 14 of Ephesians 4, as a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. Speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. The Christian who is drifting, the Christian who is not anchored in the Lord, is susceptible to any wind that comes his way, any wind of doctrine, anything that sounds even halfway true or halfway appealing. They're going to eat that bait, hook, line, and sinker. And that's such a danger. We are susceptible to so many false teachings. You think about the one who is drifting in a boat and the two young men that died. As they got further and further downstream, what happens to that current? It just picks up steam until it is just absolutely too strong for the person to overcome, to fight against. And spiritually, it's the same way. We begin drifting, and we may slowly drift a little bit at a time, but over time, we build up a lot of steam, and before we know it, we are going so fast in the wrong direction, there's not much that can be done for us. And so we run the danger of that. Drifting is a danger to others. You think about a boat or a ship that is just kind of wandering aimlessly on the sea or the ocean. He is a danger. He's a danger. That boat, that ship is a danger to everybody else that's in a close proximity. And we too, as we drift and fall further and further from the Lord, we became a danger to others. And finally, what always happens to the drifter, to the one that is drifting in a boat, if that person doesn't do anything about it, they just continue to drift? Eventually, they will perish. Eventually, they will end up crashing. There will be a shipwreck. All right? That's always the case. And spiritually, if we continue to drift from the Lord, we will suffer a spiritual shipwreck. The Hebrew writer reminds us of the certain judgment that awaits those who drift from the Lord. And with any sort of apostasy, with any sort of drifting, there are usually signs that accompany someone who is falling from the Lord. Oftentimes, they're difficult to recognize, but certainly there are signs that usually accompany the one that is drifting from the Lord. Signs that we need to be aware of for ourselves and for others that we are in a relationship with. And so these are, again, just a list that I come up with, and in reality, a list that is very, you know, some things that were signs to me as I had drifted from the Lord, and some moments of self-reflection as I examined my situation. What were some of the signs? What were some of the things that I was going through that were signs that I was not doing well spiritually? So think about these things and examine yourself. And, you know, do any of these hold true for you? And these are just common things, but I think very important things. We have the one that drifts from the Lord has a diminished desire to communicate with God. I know when I'm not doing well spiritually, the first thing that one of the first things is, you know, my Bible study isn't what it needs to be. My praying isn't what it needs to be. And there's certainly a myriad of reasons for, you know, not studying our Bibles or not praying as we should. You know, is it the drifting away from the Lord that causes a lack of Bible study, or is it the lack of Bible study that causes a drifting from the Lord? Probably a combination of both. But could be many reasons for that. Maybe these reasons fit your situation or a situation you have been in. Maybe you're feeling guilty about the way you've been living, and you don't want to study God's Word because you know exactly what He thinks about your situation. That has certainly been the case with me before. Perhaps life has gotten so busy that you're just not reading or praying as much as you need to. Perhaps you just have a simple lack of desire to know more about God's will for you. And there could be a thousand reasons why you're not studying and reading as you should. But that is usually a sign that you're not doing well. Several years ago, I was not doing well. And, you know, we should be so thankful, husbands, for our wives. Because I remember, you know, we living in another house, and the house, you know, wasn't very big. And so when I did my Bible reading, I didn't have too many places to hide. And so Penny would notice, and she'd notice I was not reading my Bible as I should. And she asked questions about that. She had noticed. And we'll get into that here in a moment about our needing to know each other well so we can see these signs. But perhaps, you know, that's the case with you. You're just not reading and studying and praying as you should. Another sign is you just don't have the desire anymore to be with God's people as much as you used to. That's a sign. Perhaps you have been very regular, very adamant about your worship and Bible study attendance. And now you're beginning to compromise a little bit, and you're not as desirous to be with God's people, to be at the assemblies as much. And now you're looking for reasons to miss the assemblies. That could be a sign you're drifting from the Lord. Perhaps it's a diminished desire just to be with God's people, you know, even outside of these assemblies. Being with God's people on a social basis, or working with other Christians in the work for the Lord. And you've noticed in yourself, maybe you've noticed in others, you don't have that desire. And parents, as your kids get older and they begin to spend more and more time with other Christians and other people they go to church with, and you begin to notice that they'd rather spend time with other people of the world, that could be a sign that there is an issue there. And so we need to be aware of that and be honest with ourselves about that. Possibly the desire that you once had to share the gospel with others, the desire that you had when you first became a Christian, that zeal you had for spreading God's word just isn't there anymore. You're not talking to people as much as you used to. You don't have the courage that you used to share the gospel. Maybe you just don't care as much about other people as you once did. That could be a sign that you or others are drifting from the Lord. Perhaps there is an increasing thrill in your life over the things of this world. You're becoming more worldly. You're becoming more materialistic. The things of this world that used to not matter to you very much at all now are increasingly becoming more and more important. And it's beginning to choke out your desire for those things that be more spiritual in nature. Worldly things are just becoming more important. Your job, your education, recreation, materialism are beginning to slowly but surely dominate your life. That's a sign that you are drifting from the Lord. Possibly you're making compromises that you used not to make. You used to be very careful with what you watch, with what you listen to. And now you're compromising that. And you're beginning to watch television shows or movies that you used not to watch, that have the languages in them are isn't as good as what they used to be. The things that you're viewing just aren't as pure as they used to be. Perhaps you're looking at things on the internet that you've not done before. Perhaps your language isn't as pure as it once was. Your language is becoming increasingly and more increasingly vulgar or crude. You're laughing at jokes that you used not to laugh at. Those are signs that we are falling from the Lord. You used not to lie. You used to be very honest. But now you're beginning to lie more and more to mom and dad or to your spouse. It's a sign that things aren't going well with you. So what do we do about this? How do we keep this from happening? Or maybe it already is happening. What is it that we can do to right the ship? Well, one thing we need to do is we've got to keep rowing. You know, we're in a boat, and it sounds like we can use a boat out there right now. You know, you stop rowing, you turn off the motor, and you begin to drift and drift and drift. You might be able to do that in a boat for a little while. Spiritually, we can't do that. We cannot stop rowing. We've got to keep pushing in life spiritually. It is easy to be tempted to stop rowing. All right? Maybe you're actually in a boat and you've been rowing for a while. Your arms get tired and you just want to take a break. All right? Spiritually, many times we just want to take a break, even just for a little bit. We get worn down by pressures. We get worn down by life. And we just want to coast. We want to put the gear in neutral and just coast along. We get complacent with where we are at in life. Maybe we get older and we've worked hard for the Lord and we begin to kind of back away and to take our foot off the throttle, so to speak. Perhaps we feel like we don't have much more to offer. That is such a danger for us. We can't do that. It doesn't matter what age we are, from the youngest of us to the oldest of us, we've got to keep rowing. We've got to keep pushing. We've got to keep working. We need, let's read Philippians chapter 3 here, a few verses from Philippians chapter 3. Paul speaks to the idea that we need to keep pressing on. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. But one more thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and pressing forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. Paul had the attitude. He was just going to press on. He was going to keep fighting. He was going to keep striving until he had no more breath in him. We need to watch out for those undercurrents, those forces that are underneath our vessel that we may not be immediately aware of, but certainly we need to be looking. We need to be looking out for. And spiritually, there are many forces working against us that are not very plain to us, that are not very obvious to us, but are still very, very dangerous to us. And we need to be sober and alert and aware of everything that is going on around us. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, Peter warns about the devil who prowls around like a roaring lion. A lion is a stalker, and he sneaks up on his prey. And by the time the prey realizes the lion is there, it is often too late. And so we've got to be aware and vigilant about the dangers that are all around us. Paul warns, and Gary made reference to this morning, he warned the Ephesian elders of the savage wolves that would arise from among them. The wolves would be within their midst. We face dangers that we're not even aware of, sometimes even from our own brethren. And we've got to be aware of those hidden things that are among us but are so very dangerous. These undercurrents come in the form of ungodly influences. It comes from the pressure from others to compromise, demands on our time which distract us. Greed is such an undercurrent, and we are not even aware how much it is affecting us. But many times it is. We've got to be aware and mindful of those things. We need to expect to go against the tide. All right? We're going to be rowing, as Christians, we're going to be rowing upstream all the time. And we need to be aware of that. And there's certainly many tides, like there are many undercurrents. There's certainly many tides that are pressing in against us that we have got to fight against. We've got to fight against the dangers of seeking popularity, of peer pressure. The danger of seeking the praise and adoration of others is such a problem, it's such a danger. Denominationalism, with the many false doctrines that are out there, are a big threat to us today. Worldliness within the church and outside of the church, worldly influences pose a great danger to us. And just the idea of apathy, of neglect, of a lack of interest, of a lack of concern is so harmful to us. And we've got to fight against it. We've got to accept the fact we're going to be fighting and running uphill most of the time. If one drifts away with the majority, he's going to drift away with the majority into a lost condition. Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14 warn us of many that are going to fall away, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. We must expect to go against the tide. We must firmly anchor ourselves in Christ. In Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7, Paul warns us of and encourages us of the necessity of anchoring ourselves in the Lord. Colossians 2, verses 6 through 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Many times we are anchored in the wrong things. And if our anchor is in anything but the Lord, that poses a great danger to us. We must be honest with ourselves. We must examine ourselves. The problem with these signs of drifting is that they go unnoticed by everybody many times, but ourselves. We need to honestly examine ourselves. We must be more involved in the lives of others. The more others know you, the better they can tell when something is wrong in your life. We've been married almost 21 years now. And when something is wrong with Penny, I usually know it because I just know her so well. And when something is wrong with me, she knows it. Even just the subtle signs, she knows it because we've been together for all of this time. And the fact of the matter is, we need to become involved with others so that they can see those warning signs within us. And so when we start to drift away, they know it and they can recognize it. And the flip of that is true as well. The more we know others, the easier it is for us to know when something is not right with them. We've got to know each other. We've got to spend time with each other. We got to invest ourselves in others. And one of the hardest things facing the eldership is knowing when somebody is not doing well. Because many times, by the time we see the signs, it's too late. And the way we are trying to avoid that is by getting to know you so we can recognize those signs, and hopefully we're doing that with each other. I'm so thankful for God's design of the local church so that we could band together with other faithful disciples, so we could be involved in the lives of each other, so when these early signs of drifting and apostasy begin to manifest themselves, we can recognize them and do something about them, hopefully before it is too late. The sad reality of all this is, not all who become followers of the Lord will stay true to His Word. A few will make a sudden and obvious departure from the Lord that is clear to all. But many will just slowly drift away, and have drifted away for many, many years at times before anybody begins to notice. The gradual, almost imperceptible erosion of one's faith is the most dangerous, because so often nothing can be done about it by the time it is recognized. We need to learn to recognize those warning signs within ourselves and within each other. We must examine ourselves. We must be honest with ourselves, constantly testing ourselves. Lamentations 3 verse 40, the writer says there, "Let us examine and probe our ways, and let us return to the Lord." What is your state before the Lord? Let's make a serious and honest examination as far as our state is before the Lord. Where are you at with the Lord? Tonight, it would be a wonderful time to make things right with the Lord. Tonight would be a wonderful time to begin following the Lord right now. If you're subject to the invitation, please come forward as we stand.